Romans chapter number 6 this morning, book of Romans chapter number 6. I believe in our lives we need to have new beginnings because we get out of step. The new year often is that time whereby people stop and reflect and resolve to improve in their life. Oftentimes, we ridicule people who make resolutions. And then we sing the song from our songbook, I am resolved, no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Kind of strange ground we sometimes walk upon. I don't care what you call it. I don't care what it is. But we need to understand and recognize that we need renewal. We need something that God calls in verse number 4 of our text, newness of life. We need to walk there. Let's read this morning, begin in verse number 1. I'll read down to verse number 10. As these verses, as a matter of fact, the whole chapter, of course, is very much into our whole thought for the day. But let's read these verses. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died into sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. For your word, we ask today that you make it very clear in our hearts and our minds. I pray, O God, that through it we might have a newness in our life this day. Lord Jesus, some in this room walk in defeat. Some are ready to give up. Some are ready to quit. But Lord, that is not your will. That is not your desire. And it is your desire that we be drawn near to you, that we might be a people who experience moment after moment the walk of newness of life. Bless, we pray now, as we look to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please go ahead and be seated. We find in Romans chapter number 6, there's a great spiritual truth that is given to us by means of the illustration of baptism. When we baptize somebody, we put them under water, and then we raise them up again. It's a picture of death and burial under the water, and then resurrection as you bring them out of that water. It's a picture, it's a likeness of what the Lord did in an illustrative form. We know also that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Listen to these words. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." He said, I'm declaring this to you. "In which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. From our text, we see that baptism is a representation of great truth. It is not the main truth that's presented here, but it is a representation of truth. It's an illustration of truth. For as we get down into verse number 8 to 9, we see, for if we be dead with Christ, that's not baptism, that's not water, that's dead with Christ. In other words, we are in Him in His death, we are in Him in His burial, and then we are in Him in His resurrection. And He is talking about being baptized into Him, being placed in Him, being identified with Him. And the truth is that we are identified then with Christ in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Now the intent of this chapter is to get us to realize that we can have a new walk which is in newness of life. Verse number 4, the latter portion there says, even so we also should what? Walk in the newness of life. His intent in this chapter is to help us understand, hey, we have died in Christ, we have been buried with Christ, but now we have risen with Christ. We have the opportunity to walk a new life. We have died to sin. It is no longer that which has control over us, if we don't allow it to. It no longer has that as long as we understand where we're at. As long as we will yield ourselves, as long as we will reckon ourselves, as illustrated to us in verses 11 and 13. And so you and I today have a chapter here that's telling us that we can walk in the newness of life. I've been told, I don't know how exact this is, but I've been told that if you can do something for 21 days, do it every day for 21 days, it becomes a habit. And after 21 days, you don't really have to think about it. It's just something that you do. Now that's interesting because 21 days ago on a Sunday, I preached a message. And after that message, I asked God's people to sign a pledge of committal. And let me read what that says for many of you who are not here. It says, I commit myself to have a proper tongue in regards to what I say about, other people. I promise to say only things that will be edifying to and of my brothers in Christ especially. This means remarks that I make to them or behind their back. I promise to not have critical remarks that can hurt and offend others. I promise that if I err in this endeavor, that I will seek both God and the other person's forgiveness and a place for signature. On that service, or during that service, 52 people took that paper, signed it, and brought it down to the altar. Four brought it down with a blank paper and laid it there by pretense, and others did not do anything, I suppose. I say that to say this. Have you walked in that particular newness of life? Have you allowed that particular thing to be a part of your life? And when that did not take place, did you indeed then ask God to forgive you and the person that you may have offended to forgive you as well? To truly walk in newness, to truly have that particular thing as a new thing in our life, it must become the habit of our life. Over and over, over and over, and over again. That's what God wants for you and for me. We are buried with Him by baptism. We are buried in Christ. We are, what, risen then or raised up to walk in newness of life. We have the privilege to walk in Christ in a new life. What a magnificent life that is. For in that new life, we find there are new principles to live by. Rather than for self, rather than for wages, rather than for that which the world is doing their thing, what motivates us now is things like gratitude, things like love. And it's that which motivates us. Paul expressed it in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. He said this, for the love of Christ constraineth us. There's a new principle that is at work in our lives when you and I will allow this thing or appropriate this thing of the resurrected Christ in our lives. Notice verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves, what? To be dead indeed unto sin. It's a reckoning. It's an application. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning. Can Jesus sin? No. And if you are walking in Jesus, are you walking where? In sin or perfection? Now, we're walking in a place that's sinless. We're walking in a place of righteousness. And if you please, perfection. That is where God wants us to be at. And the principle that guides us now are quite different than that what guides us in this world. We find our motives are different. The motive to please God rather than ourselves. It is that which propels us onward. We want Him to have the glory. The writer to the Hebrews said, without faith it is impossible to please Him. And so we want to believe Him that we might be pleasing to Him. I read in 11, verse number 27 of the same book, by faith He forsook Egypt, referring to Moses, not fearing the wrath of the king, for He endured as seeing Him who is invisible. He kept on going because He had a new motive. And that motive was to see the Lord. There's new objectives in our lives. The objective, the purpose of our life becomes to show the glory of God. It becomes to follow the laws of life and that which God has for us. We find that even our emotions are changed. Fear at one time, it was that which was frightening, but fear now is a different thing. Fear now is we are afraid to disappoint God. We fear Him and we fear the fact that, hey, He might not receive the glory that He has. We have new emotions like joy and love and peace. We have all of these things inside that have been enlivened through the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things, He says, are become new. And so God has for us a newness of life. What is our problem? We don't always walk in that newness of life. Oh yes, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We received Him into our life, but we're not walking in that. We've not appropriated that. We have not yielded to that. We're listening to the flesh. We're listening to the old life that we had many years ago or maybe just a few months ago. But it must be that which is focused upon God. We have new hopes in Him. I heard somebody say this morning that they're looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We deal with many, many problems and circumstances and sicknesses and all sorts of things that come into our lives. And oftentimes, what do we say? Even so, Lord Jesus, come. It's an exciting prospect that He might come. And the Bible teaches us that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. That hope generates some things within. May I also say to you, there are new possessions. Though that which is round about us may fail, the crops might not yield this year, the lambs may die, but our bread does not come from there, it comes from God, for He be the bread of life. And we have a new hope and new possession with the Lord Jesus Christ. What's He say here? So we also should walk in the newness of life. What's our problem? We often walk in the old ways. We often pick up that which we've done in the past. We pick up those things in the direction we were going, and we see not through the eyes of faith, but we see through that which is sight and that which is what we've been so many years in passing. But not only is there some new things, but there is in our lives action. Notice what He says here, even so should we what? Walk. Walk. The Christian life is not a life of ease. It's a life that is walking. It's a life that is going somewhere. It is a life that is active in service. It is not content to be idle. It is that which is seeking to head in a direction. It is that which is going somewhere. Progress is taking place. Some of you met and know my grandson that's 6'9", I believe he says. And I'm not sure, but I don't think John has ever learned to ride a bicycle. One reason now is they probably don't make seats high enough off of the top of the bike for him to reach the pedals and do it properly. And he was talking about bicycles and he said, they're really stupid. He says, you think about it, all they do is just go around in circles. They go here, they go there, but inevitably they just go in circles. Wise grandpa made a comment that did not set too well. I said, it's kind of like the game of basketball, isn't it? You go to one end of the court and you go back to the other. You go to the other end, you go back to this one. You're kind of going in circles. Matter of fact, the ball is a circle. The rim is a circle. We're not talking about going in circles. We're talking about going somewhere. We're not talking about that which just gives us idle time and that which just passes the time, which can be riding a bike or playing basketball. But we're talking here about a walk, that which has taken us in a direction. The Apostle Paul said it this way, the Philippians, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I have a direction I am going. There is a goal in my life. And I find also there is an energy that must be there. It is a resurrected Christ we live in. It's not the old man that is in his deadness. Heard the story about a man who throughout his life had worked hard, as many of you do. He'd put away what little bit he could from and tried to save a little bit. And he had a pension that was being built where he worked at. And he knew that when it came time to retire, there'd be just enough to live off of. And so he tried desperately to sacrifice now and put away just a little bit more. And yet as time went, and as you know how things go, inflation began to eat it up. And with a lot of remorse, he was looking to the time when he would retire and wonder how he would make it. The years had come and had passed by, and it is close now to the point that he is at retirement, and a relative of his has died. Unknowing to him, this relative has wisdom, a tremendous amount of money. He has given to him in one moment what had taken this man a lifetime to go through. Several hundreds of thousands of dollars, perhaps even in the millions, and it now had become his. May I say to you this morning that there was a change in the way he looked at things. His old attitude of what is important changed. His joy in the prospect of a small competency is no more before his eyes. He has risen to a different level altogether. New conditions have silently changed everything for him. The whole man is now built on a bigger scale. The house that he lives in, the table that he sets at, the garments that he wears, the company he keeps, and even the speech that comes from his lips is all now of another sort. There is not a point in his life that is unaffected. Why? Because there has been brought to him wealth. May I say to you today that the greatest wealth that you and I hold is in the resurrected Christ in whom we dwell if we're saved. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. He says all things have become new. We are now living in a different situation. Really, honestly, brethren, it isn't paycheck to paycheck anymore. It is realization and knowledge that we have a God in heaven that said He would never leave us nor forsake us. It's the realization that no matter what might take place, He does not leave His seed begging bread. It is an understanding that God wants to bless us when we will put our faith and trust in Him. God gives us a new energy. God brings something that swarms about us and protects us. There were four or five boys who went down to the local pond. It was a little bit chilly that day. And as they get down to the pond, they slip down to their shorts. And three of them walk over and stick their feet in the water. One just pulls it back quickly, affected by the cold. Another stands a little farther down, perhaps up to his knees, and he's standing there shivering. A third tries to splash a little water on himself and backs away to the beach, shivering and cold. A fourth one, seeing a high spot of ground, runs, jumps from the ledge into the water, and after a moment comes to the surface, pops his head up and says, "Come on in, fellas. What's the difference?" He's surrounded by the water that is warm. They felt the water, but the wind brought coolness. And the things of the world affected them while that young man took the plunge. That's what God's looking for from you and me. To just jump in. That we should walk in newness of life. And I say to you this morning, that cannot happen until, first of all, you accept the gospel that Jesus died for you. Say, why did He have to die for me? The wages of sin is what? Death. God told Adam and Eve in the garden, "In the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die." We learn from those two scriptures and many others, the reason we die is not because we get old and sick. We get old and sick and die because of sin. My Bible tells me that when Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, the book of Isaiah describes it this way, all of our iniquities were laid upon Him. In other words, He became our substitute, and as we now can be in Him, He died for us. He was buried for us, proving and separating death from resurrection, but proving that death had indeed taken place. 3 days and three nights He spends in that grave, and then on that glorious Sunday, up from the grave He arose. And I love the song of the mighty triumph over His foes. But He came forth with life. And when you and I will trust in Him, we are placed in Him. And His death counts as our death. His burial counts as our burial. His resurrection counts as our resurrection. And you and I then can walk in the newness of life. No longer do we have to be affected by sin. Why? Because as He says here, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? As we are baptized, or as we are placed in Christ, into His death, into His burial, into His resurrection, now we have the blessed privilege to walk in the newness of life. It's there for us. What's our problem? We have flesh. And we listen to it. And as we listen to it, it wants to take us the other direction. But we can listen to the Spirit of God and walk in the newness of life, not the oldness of death. You can put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and have a newness of life. Christian, you're out of fellowship with God. It isn't like it was at one point in your life. There are things you're ready to give up, but you can walk in the newness of life. See, what's the difference? Quit listening to the flesh and listen to the Spirit of God. That's where He wants you at. Because that's what He says we should do. Walk in the newness of life. Father, today, work in our hearts. Oh God, today, change lives. Some in this room need Jesus as a Savior. Some in this room need Jesus as the sanctifier. God, do Your work today in hearts. Draw us to Yourself. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you a